Okay, good evening. This is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. This is Alex Steinberg. I'm convening this meeting. And does somebody want to volunteer to be per diem secretary, since we don't have a regular secretary?
I know this law, and you asked for me to do this, so I'm set up to do it.
Oh, great. Okay.
I don't have the list of the members. Let me see if I can pull that up here.
Okay. Well, I can do that if you want.
Go ahead with that.
Okay. So I'm going to call the roll now. Tom Voorhees?
Here.
Okay. You're keeping track of who's here, right, Robin? Lawrence Reyes.
Here.
Okay. Dwayne Lark. Okay. He's not here. Heather Gray. Okay. She doesn't seem to be here. Robin Collier.
Present.
Grace Aaron.
Here.
Jim Sagerton. Okay, he doesn't seem to be here either. Vanessa Dixon Briggs.
Present.
Okay. Lyndon Foley.
Here.
And Lydia Brazon. I guess she's not here either. Okay. I sent a draft agenda just a few minutes ago. It's a pretty simple one. Let me read it.
You didn't call Grace or yourself.
No, he did call me.
I called, I didn't call myself. Alex Steinberg, I'm here. Grace is here. So. Okay, so here's the draft agenda. Item number one, or two rather, is agenda approval, 5 minutes. Item number two is, rather, item number three is a minutes approval. It's a two-minute item. Item number four is continuation of discussion of strategic plan. That's a 60-minute item. Item number five is a new business. It's a five-minute item, and we adjourn no later than 10 p.m. Eastern Time. Do we have a motion to approve the draft agenda?
This is Vanessa. I move to. So moved.
Okay. Does anybody wish to make any additions or amendments or anything to the draft agenda? Okay. Are there any objections then? Okay, then we'll move on. Approval of minutes. I have to admit, I don't remember who was assigned the task of doing minutes at the last meeting. Does anybody recall this?
I might have done them. I'm not sure.
Hmm. Okay.
But do you remember the date of the last meeting?
It was in September. September 21st. No, I'm pretty sure we had one since then. It was early October. I just don't remember. It must have been 2 Mondays ago.
So maybe not.
It was the 12th, Alex, the 12th of October.
12th of October. Yeah, that makes sense. Yeah.
Okay, let me check.
But wasn't that switched with the personnel committee?
We met on Monday.
No, the personnel committee met on the 19th, as I recall. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
couldn't have... 12th, okay.
Okay, we do have to devote some time to straightening out the minutes for this committee. We have some minutes and some meetings that we had minutes for, some meetings we don't. And I think that's, we have to fill in that, those gaps. So I'm going to try to do that over the next couple of weeks.
Okay. I took the minutes for September 21st.
Okay.
And wait, I might have done September, October 5th. Let me look. Yeah. Good. Okay, so I'm going to send them to everybody.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see. All right, I'll just Alex, Prince, Lyndon, Dwayne, Tom, Vanessa, James, Lydia, Robin, Heather. Sandra's on the call, on this committee too, isn't she?
Yes. No. No.
No.
She's not.
She's on personnel.
She's on personnel.
Personnel.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have Alex, Lawrence, Lyndon, Dwayne, Tom, Vanessa, Jim, Lydia, Robin, and Heather. Is there anyone else?
I think that's it.
I'm going to forward this.
Okay. Okay, I got the minutes. Well, you got footnotes and everything here. I'm impressed. Wow. Wait a minute, these are minutes? Oh, okay, I was reading the wrong thing. Okay, it looks pretty comprehensive. They can be corrected later. Do we have a motion to approve the minutes?
I'm moved.
Are there any objections? Okay, and these are the minutes for October 5th?
Yes.
Okay. I mean, there seemed to be a question whether we met on October 5th or October 12th. Let me just look up the calendar.
Well, it had to be October 5th because I sent them to everybody on October 5th.
I agree.
Says,
is there some
planning meeting minutes October 5th, 2020?
Okay. Yeah, we were listed for October 5th.
Chair, this is Lawrence. We did meet on October 5th.
Yeah, it's October 5th. I guess there was a something was listed for October 12th, but I guess that must have been canceled.
You canceled it because the personnel committee was meeting. Remember, we had Sumant.
Right. Okay. Yeah, and and I meant to post the next meeting for yesterday, but I didn't get around to it until it was too late, so we had to meet tonight. But there was nothing else going on tonight, so it didn't seem like a bad night to be meeting anyway. We'll get back to a Monday schedule next time.
Well, are we going to have the meeting, or are we just going to shoot the shit?
We are discussing, we're trying to figure out the minutes, Lyndon. That is part of the meeting. Okay, so are there any objections or any corrections to the minutes? Okay, so the October 5th minutes are approved. Okay, so let's move on to a discussion of strategic plans. And where we stand on that, we had something submitted by Lyndon that's supposed to be vetted for legal issues by our Pacifica's legal counsel. He has not completed that review yet, as far as I know. Perhaps he'll have a report on it at the next PNB meeting Thursday night. So I'm not entirely sure what more we could discuss on that plan at this point, but if anybody wants to continue that discussion, I'm certainly willing to do that. Lyndon, did you want to add anything to the plan you presented?
I don't really have anything to add to it. I was wondering if it's going to be taken up by the new committee, you know, what they're going to do with it.
Dwayne's on the call.
Yeah,
yeah,
well, the new committee the new committee has, as far as I understand it, they're just supposed to consider what the options are for the loan. I guess that could be an option they could consider. Yeah.
Well, it's most definitely an option. That's why I put it forward.
Okay.
Lawrence to the SEC.
Yes, Lawrence.
Thank you. I'm driving, so anything that's on paper, if you could read it, I appreciate it.
Sure.
So the committee did meet, and Dwayne convened it. So I'll defer to Dwayne in regards to Lyndon's proposal.
Okay. Dwayne, do you want to speak on this?
Okay. Where are y'all in the meeting in terms of what is it, the agenda item that you're on?
Well, we're on the, you know, exploring the different strategic plan possibilities. So.
Okay. Well, the committee did meet for the first time. And the objective was to get an outline and kind of create some kind of schematic or some goals. And we were able to achieve that. And the next meeting, we're going to create some timeline. And I think that since I was the motioner of the committee, the vision is that the Strategic Planning Committee has its charge, which is overall come up with a plan, overall plan to get us where we need to be. This loan committee, as I described it, is to give us ideas, concepts, in order to pay off this loan, which obviously Lyndon's suggestion, as well as some other ideas, suggestions, plans, concepts, are going to be considered. And we will then report our findings and our recommendations as to how we should move forward. And as it relates to Lyndon's idea, I'm fairly familiar with it because I've worked with it, that concept, with a couple of churches in my lifetime. And it worked out well for a couple of churches, didn't work out well for another, as I understood it. But I do think that we ought to caution the fact that it's not something you do overnight. It's not something that is going to ramp up and be creating revenues in the next month or two, because it basically you get an agreement among the foundation to do it. Then you find, in my opinion, a company that is professional and has demonstrated and a track record regarding implementation, creation, and managing such an entity. And then once you sign that contract, then they help you identify individuals and market to individuals within your own community as well as maybe outside of the community in order to achieve your financial goals. And so I think that will take a few months if we do it right. But the committee itself, I think, is on to a good start. As with all committees with different people, we have some agreements, we have some disagreements. But I believe if we continue in the track that we're in, Lyndon's plan, several other ideas will be brought forth, and the national board will make its decision as to yay or nay, move on all of it.
Lawrence is a sec.
Okay. Okay, Lawrence.
Thank you, Alex. Out of the many ideas, Lyndon's idea of the bond issue was supported, and it is on the table, I believe, right, Wayne? As one of the ideas. So I just wanted to let Lyndon know that. So it is on the table, Lyndon. But we are still waiting for the legal opinion.
Right, right.
But that's not going to prohibit us from acting on it. So acting on it within, I mean, discussing it and flushing it out more. So I just wanted to let the committee know.
Well, one more thing, Chair. That is a charge to Lyndon. We're depending on, here's what I've learned about life, about ideas, about concepts. When you bring them forth, they move more effectively and efficiently and successfully when you take ownership of them. So I'm going to depend on you as the convener of this committee to continue to do the research you've done, to continue to kind of gather more and more information. And I am also trying to research companies that I know have helped churches to put these programs together. But I'm only charging you up to say, don't just throw it out here and expect anyone else to carry the water. I'm certainly supportive of it. I'd like to explore it. I haven't fully got my head around it, but I'm one of those who believe that if something will work and no one else has come up with anything other than that, it certainly sounds to be one of the most promising options that we have, even if it's not going to help pay off the loan totally. It certainly could go in part for that, and then on a more longer term, we could have this thing open for a year in terms of getting people to buy bonds. It doesn't. Well, I don't envision this happening 1 month or 2 months. We have this thing out, but I want you to continue to work toward supporting it and submitting information as you get it. Is that an agreement, Lyndon? Is that something you can continue to do?
Lyndon for the staff.
Okay, Lyndon, let me just interject here. Dwayne, I appreciate the contribution, but it is not the case that this is the only idea that has come up. Other ideas have come up. I've been discussing a renegotiation of the loan for a very long time, combined with some fundraising efforts in order to bring down the principal. So that's been on the table for quite a while.
But the difference, Chair, I appreciate that. I really do, because I've said some things to myself. But the difference is they haven't been brought forward and they haven't materialized. So I think a lot of us have a lot of ideas we put forth, as you said, over a period of time. But until they materialize and until we actually work on them and make them material, they're not going to be any of usefulness. And certainly getting the foundation money in. So I appreciate those comments, and I too have shared some ideas about national funding. So if we can just get them all kind of like on paper and get people to own them, you know, have ownership of it and work toward it, and then have other people with them working toward it, I think the foundation would be in much better shape than just ideas.
Well, it's not a question of just ideas. It's a question of which of the ideas that are being tossed around are the ones that we are going to try to implement, or possibly it could be a combination. They're not necessarily mutually exclusive either. So once we've made a decision on that, then we can begin the implementation phase.
I agree. Yeah. We're saying the same thing. I just believe in action. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah. Okay, Lyndon, go ahead.
Thank you. Yes, Duane, I will try and move the ball ahead a bit. I got from one of our listeners sent me some information on a certain person with one of those groups that I had sent a link to. So, I was wondering, I didn't want to make calls myself and then have you or Chris or James or somebody else, you know, make the same calls. But since you put it that way, I will move the ball forward some and then report back to you all what I find out.
Yeah, just include me on the call if you can. No problem.
Okay. Well, let's move on. Grace also presented some ideas at the last meeting. Grace, did you want to speak on any of that?
We were going over this like a very, very short form strategic plan, just of things that need to be done, speaking, and expense cuts. We went over some of these. Budgeting, hiring an executive director, although I don't know if we can afford it, but nonetheless, we're moving ahead with that. Do all possible to work with the programming committee to improve programming so that it sounds better and it's more compelling and interesting. For that, all of our stations become multimedia outlets utilizing the internet and social media to expand our reach, improve our visibility. I think we went over some of these. Partner with other media outlets such as online news sites and local newspapers to share resources, add more local news, and enhance our programming. Invest in market research and ensure that our managers are accountable to our communities and that our programming addresses the needs and interests of its current and potential listeners. Then 8 was institute best practices so that all staff and programs are evaluated on a regular basis. 9, trim expenses carefully so that we have realistic balanced budgets. I think that's a little redundant. I think that was in the beginning. Begin the process of refinancing the $3.2 million loan remaining on the settlement loan while doing all possible to reduce the principal. Make sure the policy adopted regarding windfall income is applied so that 50% of all windfall income to Pacifica is used to pay the principal on the loan, and at least 30% of all windfall income to stations be used to pay the principal. Prioritize grant and major donor funding efforts. And that's all I had. There are lots of details that need to be done, managerial type of things like ensuring that sexual harassment training is happening, making sure that our license renewals get done, debugging any slows or impediments to getting the 2019 audit done. Ensuring that all our meetings are properly noticed. Ensure that we have community advisory boards at all of our stations so that we can eventually get CPB funding and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of detail that could go flesh out these points.
Let me just add to that. I think the way to handle this, and that is sort of the outlines of what a strategic plan might look like, but it has to be broken down into immediate goals, some very short-term goals, and then midterm goals and long-term goals, and they're going to be different. And something like paying off the loan is pretty much a short-term goal. We're talking about a matter of a few months. And then we may have an even more pressing short-term goal, and that is doing something about the cash flow situation that we're facing at the moment as a result of some large deficits from the Los Angeles station. So while we're working on that, we also have to keep in mind the more long-term goals that we have, and that's where we get into issues like developing some more robust programming, developing multimedia delivery of our content, and I would put as a big item on that list, and this is more of a not a super long-term goal, but more of a long-term goal. And the other one is that developing national programming that can put Pacifica on track to function as a major network voice, in addition to the local programming that we are already doing pretty well, actually. And of course, involved in that is that we have to figure out a way to do some marketing and development work, which we've been grossly deficient at for a number of years. Because even if we do have some really good programming, if the word doesn't get out, it doesn't help us. Maybe what we should do, and we can do it at the next meeting, is work out some. Separate the short-term, the midterm, and the long-term goals, and begin to work out some rough timelines for that. Does that make sense?
Yes.
We sort of started this back when the Strategic Planning Committee first got off the ground, but obviously, the terrain has shifted since we started all that, and I think we have to just revisit the whole thing and come up with a realistic plan that we could present to the board and to the executive director, and then work on how we can monitor its implementation.
Okay, so what's the timeline?
Again, there's short-term and long-term goals. I don't think we can do long-term more than, say, 2 years ahead, but I don't think it's not unrealistic to see if we can project at least up to the next 2 years to see what we can do.
Actually, I was talking about submitting the plan to the board, given that you've admitted that this has been a discussion of three different terms of directors. And we're now at the 10th month of the third term of directors in terms of having a strategic plan committee discussion. So the question really was relative to when are we going to submit a strategic plan to the PNB?
Let's see what we can do at the next meeting as far as working out the details and the timeline. And if we've all agreed on that, then we could, we could propose to send it to the full board.
Lawrence,
I'd like to on the stack after Lawrence.
Okay, Lawrence.
Thank you. I think timelines are good and all of that. One of the things that I know in my profession, one of the things that we do is we try to make timelines measurable. And I think that that's something that we should consider when we talk about timelines and goals, is that how do we measure them? In other words, what I mean by measuring them, it's just like using a ruler or yardstick, if you will, to see what it is that we want to obtain and how we measure getting to obtaining that. I don't know if that's understood, but that's one of the things that I know in social work, that's one of the things that we really look at in terms when we set goals and timelines that could be measurable.
Mm-hmm. That makes perfect sense, Lawrence. In the context of a strategic plan, a goal could be, we have a goal of paying off the loan. That's easily measurable. We say we pay off the loan by, say, May of 2021, and we measure whether we have paid off the loan or if not, if we paid off a percentage of the loan or what kind of arrangements have been made to pay off, so those kind of things. Not all goals are so easily measurable, though. If you have a goal of creating a robust national programming grid, if you have one that everyone acknowledges it's there, okay, you can say you have it, but as it's being built, it's not so easy to measure. So it's I'm in agreement basically, but I just keep in mind that not everything is easily quantifiable. Where it is easily quantifiable, of course, we...
I agree. I just wanted to throw that out. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. Dwayne,
James,
do you want
on
to
the call.
Something? Oh, hi, James.
Hi.
Yeah, Dwayne, I think you had you wanted to say something.
Well, James, I haven't heard James. I'll come after him. Go ahead.
Okay. James,
I was just announcing that I was here.
Oh, okay. You just got on?
I did.
Okay, so you're a little bit out of it at this point. So why don't you make your contribution after you've heard a little bit? We're discussing the possibilities of a strategic plan and how we want to move forward on that. And I'm proposing that for our next meeting, we try to work out some short-term, mid-term, and long-term goals and put some timelines on it and get things together in a format that we'll be shortly ready to present to the full board. Dwayne, did you want to say something now?
Yeah, good point. I just want to point out that we are on a short sea shift, for lack of a better term, given that we're halfway in October. So that means we have all of maybe November in order to present a plan. And then, of course, we're up against December, and then we determine who's coming back. But my second important concern or point would be that this continuity of leadership and management, say, it was said, and it's true, that can we afford to hire FED? Because it is the ED who is going to be charged to implement this hard work that if we did achieve a strategic plan that made sense and had methodology and actually led to a road to somewhere instead of a road to nowhere. And so it's so critical and important for us to find out in that plan, create in that plan, that what I say this foundation has lacked in the last 5 or more years, and that's continuity of management. I think one of the biggest things I've observed is that managers of our station have concluded that they're going to outlast any IED or any ED. And thus, there's really no onus on them to follow instructions or to share the vision of an ED. And if an ED has been around for 3 months, 6 months, 9 months, and an ED, the IED and the ED been around for less than 12 months, then there is no vision, or at least the vision is fleeting. So I think in that strategic plan, if it's going to be a significant achievement, we've got to create some predictability and some consistency with the next person, whether they're an IED or whether they're an ED, so that there will be some predictability, some consistency in our foundation's management. And so I just can't underscore that enough, that we can come up with a great plan and have it on the shelf for the next 4 or 5 years when we come and go. But unless we find a way to put someone in this seat called ED that can stay in this seat long enough to, number one, hold managers accountable, and number two, have a shared vision and the skills and ability to implement this strategic plan, it's all for naught.
Well, Duane, it is true that we have suffered from revolving management. There's a lot of reasons for that. I don't think I want to go into that at this point. But, you know, we also suffer from the lack of continuity of the national board. And that's another problem. And that's a problem that I think could be fairly easily remedied by a simple bylaws amendment that would seat PNB members for a 3-year term instead of a 1-year term. And in that light, I think it's a little bit unfortunate that the members of the board did not see fit to approve a bylaws amendment timeline at the special meeting last night, because it didn't have to have any relationship to the bylaws referendum proposal, which most board members are opposed to. There are some legitimate bylaws amendments that we could have been working on in the next couple of months. But anyway, it's something to think about. And hopefully we'll get to some good bylaws amendments in 2021.
Time to come back.
Okay. Anybody else?
Okay. If I could. I'm less convinced that our problem has been continuity of board members. And the reason I'm less convinced is because most board members that I know who have been around 3 out of the last 5 years. So a 3-year term, in my opinion, is not going to solve this problem. I think a 3-year contract with an ED will solve the problem, because it's my view that it's not the continuity of board members or the tenure of board members or keeping certain board members around, because I just haven't seen any of us great fundraisers or great revenue generators or whatever. And I think that is the purview of most boards, whether they're for-profit or non-profit. But I believe, as I will continue to say, that the biggest problem of our structure and our foundation, for whatever reason, we all got we can identify reasons, that when you have 5 or 6 IEDs or EDs in any organization, whether it's for-profit or non-profit, it's going to suffer, and it cannot be successful. So I think the key for me, the view I have, is that aside from changing the bylaws to have board members last longer, I think that it's more important to have the consistency and continuity and giving a professional that we all feel that, and most people who vote for EDs or IEDs have confidence in them, and then they lose confidence in them seemingly very fast. But I think for the foundation's sake, the real bullet, the real silver bullet is you have someone who's competent, who's experienced, who's demonstrated the ability to turn things around, and you give them a contract that the managers know, the members know, that they're going to be here, and they're going to outlast the board members. In fact, they may need to outlast a few managers, because it's all about who is running the helm of the foundation, who is responsible. And so I think there's a lack of continuity at that ED thing, and I think a captain of a ship is more important than shipmates. Who else is running it under? It's about the captain, and in this case, I believe our ED, the way we have things structured, is the captain. So I will argue very strongly that we need to look at a long-term ED and stop doing the 6-month, 9 months, 1-year thing, because it's destroyed the foundation.
This is Grace for the Stack.
Yeah, go ahead, Grace.
Yeah, that's interesting. The problem is, what if the ED is not a good fit? You don't want to be stuck with a mediocre executive director for 3 years. That could kill the foundation. But anyway, back in 2008, we had a strategic planning committee. I remember it well. And we seriously explored the idea of hiring a turnaround firm. And I can send you all the PowerPoint presentation from the firm that we interviewed a few firms and chose the one we liked the best to seriously consider. The board was in favor of hiring a turnaround firm, but we lost it based on the money. It was a kind of, but anyway. There's a whole industry of turnaround executives, and their philosophy is really different. In fact, most of them promise not to continue in a position for more than an absolute, the longest they will stay is 18 months. And the reason for that is once they become entrenched with having a permanent position or even the hope of a permanent position, They start to placate the board and the employees to stay on their good side, and therefore don't take the strong actions needed to turn around the foundation. I think at this point we really need turnaround expertise more than we need a stable executive director, because a stable executive director may not have the turnaround skills necessary, which are difficult skills. It means having the guts to fire people and to tell the board that the board has to realize that significant change is needed, and they need to support significant change. So that's a different philosophy than hiring a stable executive director. And there's no way to ensure that an executive director is stable. We had one person who was originally...
Unnamed, please. This is a public meeting.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, no, it's a... What happened was public. He was a man a few years ago, and he resigned. That was public. I forget his name, but he was originally from a radio outfit in Houston, I believe, or in Texas somewhere. But anyway,
I doubt if he was in Houston, if he wasn't unstable. I'm just kidding.
Yeah, he was a media executive. I don't remember his. I'll think of his name. But
I remember his name, but I'm not going to say it.
It's okay to say that he was an executive director and he did resign. There's nothing pejorative about saying that. That's in the public record. It's not secret.
Okay.
Anyway, at any rate, stability of an executive director, there's no law that says that stability. I mean, the theory is an interesting theory that unless the managers believe that an executive director is going to last, they're going to be insubordinate. Well, my goodness, if the managers are going to be insubordinate to an executive director because they think the executive director is going to be short-termed, then that's a real problem of insubordination. That's a deeper problem than just turnover of executive directors. But I think I will send everybody on this committee that PowerPoint about turnaround management. And because it's very interesting, and I think we should, it might be of interest to people on this committee because it actually goes into what the steps that should be taken to reverse a downtrending corporation or nonprofit.
Okay. It's an interesting discussion. But I still think that a stable board of directors is part of the picture as well. And by stable, I don't mean that the board of directors should last forever, but there should be some continuity over a long enough period to see some appreciable results from whatever work is being done. Currently, we have this turnover of the board. Some years it's not a big turnover, some years it is a big turnover, but it happens every year. And when new people come on the board, I know that it takes a while to get your bearings and become oriented, and it means that especially when there's a big turnover, there's a newly elected board. It takes a long time to get up and running, and that's been a problem. And our boards are critical to the functioning of this network, because we do have close association and supervision by the board of the executive director. So if the board's not constantly shifting, or has a certain position and then goes 180 degrees and takes another position, that certainly complicates things. So I just think it would be a somewhat better situation if we had 3-year terms on the board instead of 1-year terms. It's not a magic bullet. I'm not claiming it is, but I think it would improve things. Okay, anybody else?
This is James.
Okay, James, you haven't said much today.
I'll wait for Lyndon if he hasn't spoken yet.
He has.
Oh, okay.
Not on the subject.
Okay.
I'll let Lyndon go. Let Lyndon go ahead.
Point to us. Go ahead. Go ahead, Lyndon.
Okay, thank you. I think that the board could last a little longer, or have a little longer longevity, the board members, because there's so many things that you don't learn, you don't know about when you come on the board. Just today I was reading, something about the California Attorney General telling us we had to do this or do that. I didn't know that this had even existed until today, and I've been on the board here for 10 months or something, 9 months. But I also believe that Dwayne's correct, that we do need stability at the top. The ship has to have a captain who knows what he's doing and knows that when he gives orders, he or she gives orders, those orders are carried out. And right now, I don't know that, that we have that. And, Grace brings up, well, what if we want to get rid of him? Because it just means that we really have to make the right pick. We are up against the wall. We have got to make the right pick this time, or we may be gone. And then the irony of wanting to hire somebody to make the hard choices, like firing people or something. Does that sound familiar? I think that just happened and all hell broke loose.
Yeah, so, that was a total disaster.
Well, hey.
Hey, yourself. That was a total disaster for the network.
Hey, I think I have the floor. that is your view, Alex. That's the deal. That is your view, and some other people had a different view, but we had somebody in charge. They made a move. And, the PMB totally overturns it. So if you're going to have somebody...
They made an unauthorized...
Order.
Yeah, really. Really.
But that's
you're
because
the chair.
They made a move on people that they didn't want to make a move on.
Order, please. Please. One speaker at a time. Thank you.
Thank you, James. I'm done. I think I made my point.
Okay.
Chaos. Yeah.
Yeah, well, that's the problem when you appoint an El Cordillo to overlook things. We don't have that kind of a structure, and I hope we never will. We have a democratic structure. We have a structure where the executive director is responsible and answerable to the board. And if we and if we ever get rid of that, then I'd say we no longer have a Pacifica.
Vanessa to the stack.
Yes, Vanessa.
Hey,
I think I was next. I apologize.
I'll wait.
But I'll also ask, has Vanessa spoken?
No.
Or let Vanessa go.
Why, okay. Thank you. Okay. So speaking of being on the board for 10 months and learning things, I always feel like I'm gonna, there's just so much to know. There's so much institutional knowledge, and there's so much to know. So I'm going to ask a real newbie question. We're in a really challenging financial situation, even before the pandemic. We're in the process of looking for an IED. So someone explained to me, and maybe this is just a matter that would not be fair, the question I'm about to pose, as we appear to have, and maybe it's a matter of opinion, but at least from my perspective, we appear to have a really functional, it's an IED. So given the situation, it just doesn't seem like we're in a position to even incur more debt. Could we not maintain that status for another year or so? So again, this is my position as a new person, so I'm asking you all to explain that to me.
I kind of think we don't want to get into that kind of a discussion in a public forum.
Okay. Okay, it's fair enough.
It's not a bad question. It just it gets into some sensitive areas.
Okay.
James?
Request information.
Yes, what's your request?
I was a bit distracted, admittedly. So I'd like for if the speaker, the previous speaker, could in two lines re-ask that question because it was kind of long, but and I got lost in it. What was the question?
I am a long-winded person, Duane. I can understand completely how you would.
I am too, but I just want to know why Alex said what he said. That's all.
Okay, so the question I ask in the short version, see how well I can do, is given the financial situation of the network, is there any reason, or explain to me why we could not continue with the same management structure right now with the current IED?
Okay, thanks. I'd like to be on the deck.
Yeah, I don't think we should have that discussion in a public forum.
Well, I'd like to be on the stack, and I believe I can tiptoe through the tulips to give her and the listening audience my opinion.
Okay, go ahead.
No, it's on James. I don't want to jump on James. James been very patient. Been very patient.
Oh, yeah, James. Well, James is referring to
point of information,
else.
Chair.
I know.
Point of information, okay. Chair.
Yes, what is your point of information?
I just would like to ask Dwayne if he's going to tiptoe to the tulips like Tiny Tim.
Okay. Yeah. Listen, like Tiny Tim, not as if I'm hot Tiny Tim, okay?
I'm glad we're all in good humor tonight. Okay. James, go ahead.
Indeed, we seem to be all in good humor. It's nice to see. I wanted to say that I think the short answer to Vanessa's question is, yes, we can. There is nothing stopping us from doing what we're doing, or else we were doing would be somehow incorrect. So, I think we can do that. That's just a short answer. But I also wanted to just say that in my short experience on the board, it does seem that changes in the majority of the board or changes in the alignments on the board have been the direct cause of the shortness of the terms of the executive and interim executive directors. So, it's an idea that has been around for a while. I thought perhaps it might be something that was going to be worked on before we had the explosion that came out of the short-term demise of WBAI. But when that happened, of course, bylaws changes went off the agenda, and now we have another proposed total revision of the structure of the network. And again, I think we'd be better served if we did these things piecemeal, a little at a time, see how it works, and proceed gradually, incrementally, if you will, to accomplish these kinds of changes. And I wish and I hope that we could get back to that. And it, by the way, it is so much less expensive if we can do it that way, follow the route that's described in the bylaws for bylaws changes, especially if they don't affect the rights of the voters. And it's quite expensive to keep having elections, whether they're for bylaws changes or for board members. And if we did lengthen the term, that would preserve real democracy in the network without going over to what I consider the extreme or radical conservative changes that are being proposed now to really remove real democracy. There'll be a sort of a token democracy with one representative from each station being on the board, but those members being dominated by a larger number that would eventually become self-appointing. So I think it would be a great cost savings to do these things gradually and to do it to have fewer elections. And I think that would provide at least more stability in the position of the executive director. But I think we want to be careful of locking ourselves in to an executive director for too long a period of time. I mean, it's something akin to the president. You know, if you don't have an ability to impeach a president, you have a king. And so we don't want to make it too difficult to remove someone as an executive director in case they go off in a bad direction. You know, if a group of people, if one person out of a group like a board goes off in a wrong direction, they can be corrected by the rest in the group. If a single executive director with a great deal of authority can go off in an unreined fashion, they can create a lot of damage. I think we did have an experience, well, my friend Lyndon will disagree, we had an experience that some of us saw as very destructive, and we want to be able to get some of that chicken pie, by the way, and but also, you know,
yes,
be able to pull in those reins. Anyway, that's all.
Okay, I wanted to before I forget, I wanted to respond to something Lyndon said earlier. Lyndon, you said that you just learned about some words that the California Attorney General said and some suggestions he gave to Pacifica. Well, you don't really know the backstory to that. I was there and I know exactly what was going on. What happened was that a certain selected number of board members went and spoke to the California AG without informing the rest of the board, and they simply presented a narrative of what they wanted the California AG to believe about Pacifica and somehow convinced that person to do that without that person having anything like the full story. And then they sprung it on the board without warning. They did a kind of a dog and pony show. They had the California AG there. They had their legal counsel who was doing their bidding. They had some other legal specialists. And it was basically a kind of, I would call it a propaganda assault against those members of the board who were resisting going into bankruptcy and other really bad ideas that the interim executive director and the interim CFO at the time were trying to push. And we did not go that route, and I'm really glad we did not.
Alex, this is Grace. I'd like to comment on that.
Yes, Grace.
Okay, that was one incident.
Dwayne was next on the stack, Mr. Chair.
Okay, I'd like to be on the stack after Dwayne.
Well, I don't want you to lose. I don't want you to lose yourself. Go ahead, because I'll be after you.
Okay, I think what Lyndon is talking about is an entirely different and much more serious matter than what you're recalling, Alex.
Grace, can you speak closer to the mic?
Okay, is that better?
Yes, thank you.
Okay. What happened was there was something that happened at one of the stations, and that exact happening had nothing to do. What Alex is talking about was an earlier incident that did not really result in a serious California Attorney General action. There was another incident, as I say, that happened from the action of a station and not having to do with the board at all, that resulted in a very serious investigation and determination by the Deputy AG of California. I don't know.
Yeah, but that is a
I have all
that
the details about.
Yeah.
I have all the details about it, but I don't think it's confidential. But I don't want to take the chance. So I will talk about it in closed session, and then we can determine if it's confidential or not.
Yeah,
very serious.
Just I know what you're talking about, Grace, but I think Lyndon was referring to the incident I was bringing up. I'm not entirely sure.
Well, we don't know because Lyndon hasn't told us.
Okay.
We have no way of knowing.
But I'm getting a great history lesson.
Okay. Well, I think it's Dwayne's turn.
Yeah, go ahead, Dwayne. Dwayne?
Okay, thank you. I almost forgot my own thought. Let's go ahead. But I did want to just point out that it's not often Lyndon and I agree, but certainly I appreciate his comments relative to our going back and forth with the exec to what's most effective or what's most detrimental or what has been the biggest problem and hindrance to the foundation. And I frankly think it's not consistency of board members, because even if I just did a study on this line, I did a survey on this line, it's my expectation, my belief that you will find 3 of the 7 people who are on this line have been on the board in the last 10 years, more than 3 years, 4 years, maybe 5. And 4 of us who've been on less than 2 years. So I don't think consistency is a problem, because I believe that it's proven with this system that if your members back in your station and your board members, your LSB feel like you're representing them well, then you come back. And so I think that's a good concept, as opposed to having 3 years to. And then when I look at the EDs, I think that was a misstatement, or certainly misleading, to say that you've got EDs that I've been here 2 years, and I've seen IEDs, and I've seen an ED hired, and because he didn't do what some of the leadership wanted, he gone, period. So I think this double-edged sword about getting rid of people, and as it relates to the one that was referred to about firing folks, when one of the members said you need one that has ability to fire folks, I see the problem often is if the leadership don't want you to fire those folks, then you're a problem. If the leadership wants you to fire those folks, then you're good. And that's just not the way to run a foundation. And as relates to the tenure of an individual, I think Lyndon had it right. And if I had the opportunity to say it before, I certainly think it. And that is, if you hire right, which we haven't done. And I think people who've been on this board have to take responsibility for that. And it seems as though no one wants to take responsibilities for their actions, because the same leadership that hired our last ED basically had a hand in firing our last ED. And if that inconsistency or consistency, whichever way you want to look at it, I think it's on the hands of the board, not the hands of the structure. So I would move forward to say it's critical that we have people who do come in and out of this experience, that when you have this stagnation of folk who can hire 3 years, they're on the board 3 years, and they can hire five different EDs, five different IEDs, that seems to me they're the problem, not the structure. And I believe hiring intelligently, having the confidence, turning over the reins, giving the person, empowering the person, because I've had the privilege in being in the workforce for over 45 years. I started when I was 13 years old, my first job. I've been at the bottom, I've been at the middle, and I've been at the top. So I know from all levels. And if you don't have that perspective, you sometimes lose sight that there are problems at every level, and there are good things and bad things. So you got to decide, do you want continuity at the helm, or do you want the ability to get rid of folk because you're in power and you don't like what they do, or you don't like the direction they go? And the last two people I've seen hired, I was never in the majority of these hires.
Let's not get into too many details about hiring and firing, please.
Well, as long as I don't call names, I'm going to say that I have never been able to get a person in that I thought was the best person for the job, and then to empower them and give them full support and have confidence in their decisions. Otherwise, don't hire them. So as relates to the question that was asked earlier, I believe that the organizations and the businesses I've been associated with, they have always looked within to hire, to seek to hire. And that's not discriminatory. That's just common sense. That's just good business sense. And institutional knowledge, it is a two-edged sword. The fact that you don't have institutional knowledge at 1 year, but I've had a fast learning curve with my 2 years in terms of institutional knowledge. So I know who was at the helm doing what. And I know tenure of board members is not the answer. But I believe that when organizations, successful organizations, they have certain things in common. And one of the things they have in common is the continuity of management. People stay in place to get the vision of the organization implemented and managed, not ferreting people in and out and in blaming them. No. Continuity of management is one of the most principal examples of a successful operation, and we've lacked it. So you just can't throw that under the bus, and you just can't put your head in the sand and not acknowledge that. And whose fault it is, whose responsibility it is, it's board members who were in control, board members who had leadership. And so I believe an organization would look at the job that a current employee has done, and they would then make a determination, is this person done a good job? Is this person done an exemplary job? Is this person committed to the foundation? Does this person have vision? Does this person have the respect? All these things. And so to answer that question, I think any good, reasonable, professional, objective organization or leadership of an organization certainly would acknowledge the work that's been done by their current employees.
Lawrence to the stack.
Okay. Lawrence, go ahead.
Thank you. I would not compromise continuity for accountability, first of all. If somebody acts egregiously and willfully, Machiavellian-like, then there's something wrong with that. And I agree that continuity is very important. I sit on a board where we gave the ED just recently a 7-year contract, and we had an ED that went out after 24 years. But yet that ED was accountable to the board, and so I would not screen the virtues of continuity for the sake of accountability. Because if we weren't able to hold somebody accountable, then what happened, as we all know, what happened at places within the network would have been even worse.
So, you know, I understand, you know, the whole argument for continuity and all of that, but I will not compromise continuity with accountability. Look in the times that we live in now, where the checks and balances of the government does not exist, where one party does not hold another party accountable, and we have an orange guy running around making people sick, and as far as I'm concerned, that's the same kind of person we had before. And if we didn't have the check, then we would have been completely out of balance, and probably we would have a different nature of what this foundation is. So, again, I do not give up the opportunity to be accountable. And I, with the little institutional knowledge I have, institutional memory I have, I know that if we didn't have a democratic structure in place that saw the democratic accountability and democracy, then we would have been up a creek, without saying the other word, up the creek with, you know, what would have been next after the station in New York? What would have been next? It would have been probably Texas. I don't know. Who knows? But the fact is that since we had, and we all participated, the majority of the people on this call participated in that decision-making process. So I don't think we should hide it. I also know that the reason why we got that individual because of some people that are currently in this meeting, and so I understand that. But if we did not have the discretion of accountability, that station in New York would have been sold. I don't know what would have happened, but there would have been different consequences. So the fact that we were able to step in and avoid further damage, and the damage that was done is irreparable, and we're still feeling that today. So I do not compromise when it comes to accountability. There has to be a check and a balance because we see what's happening in our society right now with the imperialist capitalist government that exists currently. So, again, I just said if we did not have that discretion, we would have been up, we would have been down the creek, and I don't think we will be in existence today as we are, fighting, trying to move Pacifica forward, and having the fighting chance to do that. And I don't think what's being proposed, another iteration of what's being proposed while was already defeated, is bits and pieces that have been plucked out of the previous referendum to try to absorb ourselves of the responsibilities that we have and the responsibilities and the discretion and the accountability that the listeners, that we have to our listeners. So that's all I have to say. Thank you.
Yeah. Thank
Point
you, Lawrence. Lawrence, that I agree with your remarks. I think we need accountability. We do need some continuity. We can't have complete lack of continuity, but we also need accountability. We need some kind of a balance between the two. And guess what? There's no magic formula that you can rely on to get everything right. I think a lot of people make the mistake that they look at Pacifica and it does have problems, and they think, I have the idea that's going to fix this. Let's do this. Let's do that. And they don't really look at the struggles that have taken place, the history or any of the historical context, and they want to run in and think that some magic formula is going to fix things. And it's not, never has, never will. So I think that there's no getting around the fact that we have some hard work to do. We have some hard slogging to do. There are going to be no perfect solutions.
And this is Grace from the Stack.
Yeah,
I agree with both of you.
I strongly agree with Lawrence and with Alex, and I think that the goal to hire somebody who's going to be stable and have a long term as an executive director is a laudable goal. But to assume that that person is going to do a fantastic job, although the person, and lock ourselves into potentially somebody who does a fantastic job, but possibly not. On the local level and the national level, we have hired some good managers, and I'm talking about over a 50, 60-year period, and some real duds. And we've hired people who look terrific on paper and interviewed really, really well, and they didn't work out at all. And this is in many organizations, not just Pacifica. Anyway, getting back, we're almost done. I'd like to say that for an emergency short-term plan, we should write it down, but the board has been steering the foundation in certain directions, which is basically an emergency strategic plan. So the emergency strategic plan is to refinance the loan, possibly have a bond, but I think the first thing is refinance it or lengthen it or extend the term of the loan. Also, we took the measures at least 8 months ago to indicate that 50% of any windfall income that's not restricted that goes to the national office will be used to pay off the principal, and that 30% of windfall income, which could be bequests or major donor funding, that goes to any station, at least 30% should be used to pay down the principal of the loan or will be used. It's a directive of the PNB. And over a period of 3 or 4 years, maybe 5 years, because we get bequests, in 2019, I believe we had over $1 million in bequests, it will pay off the principal of the loan. So that's a plan that we put in place. Also, doing all possible to apply for PPP funding, the EIDL loan, and other funding that's out there. There probably will be a PPP, more PPP funding, so we should absolutely be first in line with an application for that. So these three things are elements of an emergency. Also, James Sagerton is working in the Finance Committee to ensure that budgets are getting done and demanding budgets. So those are things that are an emergency strategic plan that we need to put in writing, but the board has already started to put pass resolutions and to work on. And I think that we just need to write down what we've already done and what we're already pushing, the direction we're already going in.
Okay, let's continue. Yeah, let's just continue this discussion next week. We're going to wrap up. So, Lyndon D., go ahead.
I just wanted to say, although I appreciate, you know, all the points that Grace put together, and it sort of looks like a plan, but it's more of a by grace of God, you know. You know, we have to have COVID, and so we get the PPP and the EIDL. I mean, those just came to us. So if we're going to just rely on things coming to us, that's not the same as having a real strategic plan. And bequeathment, the loan is due April 1st. So that's not a 5 year or 3 year something that you could be relying on. I just that's a big disconnect. So I have to disagree that that's really putting a plan together.
Lyndon, I just want to remind you that the PPP loan is given to businesses, including nonprofits, in order to compensate them for the terrible economic damage being caused by the pandemic. And
are you mansplaining to me?
It is. It has affected the radio industry. There's no question about it. So it's not a gift from God. Quite the contrary. It's some kind of remediation to a terrible situation, and we should take advantage of it when we can.
I am not arguing about taking advantage of it.
Okay. I need a minute.
Okay.
We're at time certain. It's 10 o'clock.
Let's give Dwayne 1 minute, and then we'll finish. Okay.
Okay. I think you would really be remiss if you disagree with what Lawrence said and disagree with what Alex said. But I don't believe they're mutually exclusive. I believe that you can find a common ground and somewhere in the middle. Right now, it's hard for any reasonable person to disagree that continuity at the top of our ED position has not caused this foundation to suffer. And to make the argument that the reason why is that you can't trust someone to be good at what, well, in other words, the people who've made the decision to hire the people who've been hired ought to be held accountable, as far as I'm concerned, because there were other choices. And so while we want to hold other folk accountable, we won't hold each other accountable. And to that degree and to that extent, I don't think any reasonable fiduciary officer would, as Lawrence alluded to, give up accountability for continuity. And that's what was suggested. And I think that is a far-fetched suggestion that reasonable-minded people and good fiduciary officers are able to find that middle ground. And that's how you style a contract, that you have a dismissal clause for a reason. And so you don't have to keep somebody on if they're not performing. But at the same time, you ought not be afraid, because what you've done hasn't been successful. And you've done it consistently for the last 10 years or more. So get off that horse and get on another one. Thank you.
Okay. I think we're out of time. I think we have a pretty clear idea of what we want to do at our next meeting, which will be not next Monday. That'll be a personnel committee meeting, I believe, but the following Monday. So with that being said, I think we're adjourned.